When I was in retail, when I was worked at Food Lion and was in store management, I used to just be a stocker. I'd be the one they would tell somebody what to do, and I just did it, was happy to do it, and went home. But the managers, they did what they had to do, and then they had to stay a lot of times and stay there and close the store and take care of strife and all this other stuff. One of these, and then God put me in that position. So when I got in the management position, go home with the crowd when the clock hit 4 or 5, no, there was a meeting. They'd call a meeting, and guess what? I had to be there. And every week, I think it was every week, I had to have a plan of action, a POA. I'm like, my God, it's the same plan. We just take groceries and whatever's on sale, we make sure we got it and sell it. But that ain't good enough. You got to have a plan of action. So I had to be creative, and I was. God said, take this message and sell it to the world. Amen. That's what he's called me to do. He's called me to sell the gospel. And it won't cost you nothing but your obedience. Amen. So he's called me to sell his word. He made me a salesman. He said, now go take my word and sell it to the world. So that's what we're doing at Word of Faith Worship Center. We're going to be obedient. So I'm stepping back off the armor of God temporarily. But I had one of my Facebook followers, when I said I'm teaching that, they said, oh, Pastor, that's good. Have you ever heard that there's no armor for the backside? And I said, yes, ma'am, I've had. Because I said, we're not supposed to run from the enemy, we run to the enemy. Because when you turn around, there's no backside, there's no protection for the backside. Because God didn't call us to run from the enemy, he called us to run to the enemy. So as I thought about that, I said, wow, we need to focus against this enemy of fear, because what good is it to have the armor on if you're running from it? Come on, why teach about the armor right now? If fear's coming against you and you're running, it's just going to take you longer to run from, because the armor is so heavy, but you ain't using it. So we're going to focus on fear today, not focus on fear, focus on what we're going to do against it. Amen. Does that make sense? And let me tell you, armor has to have under armor. What is the Christian's under armor? It's love. Fruit of the Spirit is, see, I wear Fruit of the Looms, briefs, boxers. The fruit of the Spirit of a Christian is love. Because in the book of Ephesians, it talks about all these things we're supposed to be doing, don't it, Tammy? Walking in love with our neighbor, walking in love, blessing our enemies, blessing those that curse us, pray for those that despitefully use us. If we're not doing that, don't think when we put that armor on, the devil's going to listen to you. Because Paul got to where he said, finally, my brethren, after you've done all that, you've learned to have a relationship with your wife, with your kids, with your employee that really is not treating you right. If we don't do that, the armor is not going to do us no good. It's just going to make life more burdensome. But when you're wearing love, you got love on, and then you put that armor on, and you got your sword, you got the word of God, and you got your shield of faith, you ready. And that's what we're believing, that we're ready. God says, get ready, be ready for such a time as this. It's our time. Amen. So today, I'm going to be talking about, we're going to walk through this, about no fear is welcome here. Now, this is Word of Faith Worship Center in Concord, but I'd say every church that believes in Jesus, fear is not welcome in them churches. Well, Pastor, what do we do? I'm glad you asked, because God has given us a whole Bible of how-tos. Because it don't do us no good if we hear all this knowledge, got all this knowledge, it puffs up unless you know what to do with it. But if you know what to do with it, it won't just puff up. We'll grow up and we'll be who God's called us to be in this army. So we're going to be talking about defeating fear. Defeating fear. While many believe, now I took this from Brother Copeland's website. He is a blessing. Everything he teaches, they put up there where you can download it. Say download. And you can print it out and you can share it. Why? Because he is a prophet. We need that prophet's ministry in this church. Now, we got a prophet that comes and ministers here, Prophet Donald Moore, but he ain't here right now. So I'm looking and I'm listening. I just don't watch things just to be watching them. I'm hearing and I'm listening. And God says, bring that right there. And then I added what he said to add. While many believe fears are normal or healthy, consider the definition of phobia. Arachnophobia. I used to be scared of spiders. Now, I ain't too happy with the way they look and how big they get, but I'm not afraid of them anymore. I got a hammer, and kids ask me, I'll thump them, I'll smash them. They get big, I'll get a bigger tool, whatever I need to do. I'll take my shoe off if I need to. So, let's look at the definition of phobia. It's an exaggerated, usually inexplicable, and illogical fear of a particular object, class, or situation. Are we in a situation? In other words, fears have no logical reason behind them, nor do they serve a purpose. And that's just the world's view. That's just the world's view. I like to say fear, false evidence appearing real, but it's false. Let's go to 1 John 4:8. This is what, according to God, fear is this. This is what fear is. And I want to see what God has to say about fear. And he said a lot about it. In 1 John, now y'all bear with me because we're going to do some reading. Is that okay? Remember, this is school time. A lot of the kids out of school. So this is school time, so you ought to be used to 45 minutes of school time. I ain't saying we're going to get out of here in 45 minutes, so buckle down. Amen? 1 John chapter 4, what does God say fear is? He said it's a tormentor. It's 1 John 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. You need to hear this. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Test them whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And what are they promoting? Fear. A lot of people are promoting this is coming from God. Fear, false prophet. By this you know the Spirit of God. This is the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, in other words, they say, hey, Jesus, he is God. That's true. That's a true prophet, a true person, a true Christian, somebody that believes. Because Jesus said, if you don't believe me, believe me for the works. In other words, talking about his Father. If you've seen me, Jesus said, you've seen my Father. They're one. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that he was born of a virgin, is not of God. This is what God said. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. They're against Christ's teachings. Why? Because they don't believe in him. They don't believe him. Which you have heard was coming. The Antichrist, he is coming. And is now already in the world. Oh, it's not just one person. It's a lot of people that don't believe in Jesus. That is Antichrist. Don't be looking for this one. There's going to be one, but don't be looking for that. Look to Jesus. Look for the real one. If you got Jesus, you won't have to worry about nothing false. Because he'll show you what's true and what's not true. Somebody got a $100 bill in here? I'm looking. Man, nobody got a $100 bill in here? I don't either, but I'm just looking. I was taught in retail, they would give me a marker. Because some people come in the grocery store with $100 bills, and guess what? They're not real. They'll say, this is how you check them. I was taught another way. If you put your hand on a real $100 bill, and you know, I like apple pie. I like Colette's banana pudding, homemade banana pudding. I'll use that as an example, because that's just as good as a $100 bill. Everybody said amen to Colette's banana pudding. Somebody might just come visit this church for banana pudding, Colette. But I tell you what, if I put something up besides Colette banana pudding, this fake, this imitation vanilla wafers, I'm going to eat it and say, that ain't the right stuff. Why? Because I've had the real stuff and I liked it. See, if you know Jesus, you won't fall for nothing that's out of character. But you got to know the real Jesus. That's why we get in the Word. He said, you'll know me by my love. Christians will know them by I love you, not by I can't give you anything right now. There, you see what's going on? No, that's when you better be giving, because you're showing forth the love of Christ in the world. Amen? So, Paul says in verse 4, you are God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that's in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. Amen? He who knows God hears us. Now, the whole world's not going to hear you. But those that are looking for God and want something besides fear, they'll hear you. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Fear is not truth. It's the spirit of fear, which is a spirit of error. Don't get in error. Verse 7, that sounds pretty good. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. There's your Under Armour. Love. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God, hey, now the love of God, You can give somebody a roll of toilet paper. That doesn't mean you love them. Because this love we're talking about is when somebody spits in your face because they don't like what you're saying, and you don't spit back, you show forth the love of God, you bless them in the name of Jesus. That's love. That's God's love, because in that love, yet when Jesus was smitten, was his beard was ripped off, and they pierced him and they crucified him, he opened not his mouth. That was love, because they wasn't loving him, but he was loving them by not saying anything, because he was on the cross for a purpose, and that was to lay his life down. That is love, that you love your brother so much that you'll lay your life down. We got a lot of military people, angel that's dispatched right now. You know what? They're separated from their family, but they're not separated from God. And when you serve God, you love others. You serve others. That's love. You know, Colette, because of everything that's going on, and she's a blessing, she came and worked an extra 4 hours to clean and sanitize. She didn't have to sanctify this church. She just sanitized it, because it's already been sanctified by the Word of God, and prayer is set apart for God's house and for God's people. But we don't rebel against the government. We listen and obey God first, and then everything else falls in its place. Amen. So we got a clean church. Thank you, Colette. We got Kleenexes more. We got hand sanitizer. But the main thing is we got the Holy Ghost and power. That's the message we're here to hear. Amen. That's the God we serve. And it's right here. Paul's telling us this is the love of God. It was manifested toward us, verse 9, that God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, into the world that we might, through him in this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. He took our place. He took your place. Amen. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. You got to do that by God's power. It's his grace. He gives you the grace to do it. Verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And that perfected love he's talking about will cast out fear. You want fear out? You've got to know the love of Christ. The heights and the depths. As far as the east, as far as the west, his hands were stretched out on the cross and was crucified, and the blood was shed so that we could come into his love. He loved us and gave his life for us. That's the whole preaching of the cross. This perfected love. So verse 13, by this we know that when we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have been and we have seen, I have seen, and I testify that the Father has sent Jesus as the Savior of the world. And I'm glad to hear to tell you today he's my Lord, he's my Savior. I made that commitment over 21, 22 years ago. Amen. And I got a testimony 20 years ago, February, that Ruthie was born. She's a my millennial baby. And that was Y2K. That was the year 2000. And my wife was 7 months pregnant. And we did not get in fear then, and we're not getting in fear now. The world's going to shut down. We ain't going to have it. Now, we took precautions, but my wife was 7 months pregnant. You think a little bit of fear could have went a long way in my house. But you know what? We stayed in faith. Ruthie was born, saved us some money. We saved money when she was born. Why? We didn't make it to the birthing room. We made it to the observation room. You say, well, man, that was that a blessing? Yes, because we were believing that she would come at the right time and save us some money, because I didn't have insurance at the time. So she came. I didn't even get her on camera. Didn't have time, Reed. It was in the car, but the doc says, if you want to see the birth, you better stay here. I saw it. I testify that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and he has set us free from fear. Amen. Amen. Why? I haven't seen it, but I know it. I went past seeing to knowing and believing. Amen. Because the Word says, the Word gives me faith, and I acted on it, and I believe it. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him. Love abides in him. Peace abides in him. It's in there, guys, but the world's trying to pull it out of you. The world can't give me what Jesus. Jesus said, my peace I give you. My peace I leave with you. Not that the world gives. The world's going to give you a false peace. Oh, everything's calmed down. Everything's okay. Listen, guys, you better listen to God. The world is trying to conform. After all this is over, they're trying to mold us into something different. Oh, why can't your churches just do this? No, no. We stand the way we are, the way Christ made us. Amen. Every church is different. I'm saying God gives each church different things to do, but we have all one spirit to love one another, not to forsake ourselves, coming together as we see the day approaching. What day? Anti-nothing. Anti-God, nothing. No. I'm talking about the second return of Jesus. Things are going to get worse. It's in the Bible. But we're not focusing on that. We're focusing on what the church is going to be, who we are. Amen. We're not allowed. Fear is not welcome here. Amen. Not welcome here. Where did I get to? Verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness, Elaine, boldness in the day of judgment. We're going to have a judgment at the judgment seat of Christ. What am I going to be judged on? On what I did for him. What did you do? Did you take me to the prisons? Did you give? Or did you hoard? Did you keep? That's what, and my rewards are going to be based on what I did for Jesus. That's the only judgment a Christian is going to see. We're not going to see the great white throne judgment. That's those, man, we got heaven as our home. Amen? Because he is. In that day of bold, in that day of judgment, we'll have boldness. Why? Because we have the real thing. We've been serving the real Jesus. And we did what he told us to do. We gave today. We sowed today to our partners because I know they're going to need it. They're just like anybody in the world right now. They need everything that they have right now. They need to be good stewards of what we have. But don't be hoarders. I said be good stewards, not hoarders. Be ready to give, not to every work. What? To every good work. You're going to have to be, guys, there's going to be people trying to make money off of all this stuff out here. I'm talking about, price gouging. Don't go that way. There's somebody out there that'll give to you. God doesn't take something from you. He gets something to you. He blesses you. There is no fear. Look here. There is no fear in love. Verse 18. But perfect love. Anybody like to fish? Cast out fear. Anybody, any fishermen's in here? Like to cast that? Jesus liked to cast those nets out. He told Peter, cast your nets out for a catch. What did Peter hear previous to that? He heard the word preached. Can I take you? Can I use your boat, Peter, and preach the word? He preached the word. He taught the word. And then he said, now, go let your nets down for a haul. See, Peter tried to do it his way, and it toiled. All night he toiled. Toil is sweating. I'm not sweating what's going on in the world, and neither should you as a Christian. We are waiting for Jesus to say, now put your nets over here, put your nets over here. There's souls out there that need to come into the kingdom. They need to hear the good message, because you need to hear some good news. Just turn the TV off and watch us on Facebook Wednesday night and Sunday mornings and everybody else in the body of Christ that's getting the word out there to you. Listen, this is the time not to close your shop, but open your shop. Amen, Maria? It's time to start having creative ideas and putting them, getting that vision and writing it down and getting ready. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear, this is what God says fear, it has torment. There's you a key right there. If you're going somewhere and it's torment, that's not love, that's fear. Based in fear. Because love, perfect love, casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. That's the gospel messages. For God so loved the world that he gave. Had he not given, we would not know perfect love. God had a judgment side in the Old Testament, but now he has a love side in the New Testament. It's called grace. I've been saved by grace, not through the law. I've been saved by grace through my faith in Jesus Christ. That's the gospel message. I'm not saved by my works. I'm saved by my faith, my grace, that grace, and my faith in that grace and what Jesus done, the work of the cross. And Jesus lived 30 years and didn't enjoy going and getting on a sea-doo and going to the lake. See, that was his prime, 30 years, but that was his purpose. That he came for a purpose, that he would be the lamb that would be the sacrifice. Now, we're going to enjoy with him for everlasting. I mean, what he did, it said, the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured that cross. Because he saw all of us one day, we're gonna get to ride sea-doos with Jesus. We're going to get to ride trains with Jesus. And all your loved ones that's put faith in Christ Jesus, we're going to have a glorious time in heaven and here on the earth too. And one day, God's going to make it all new. We won't even know what fear was. So why do we need to know what it is now? Because we need to know it's not our friend, it's our enemy. That's why. Yes. Amen? And this is why we come to school. You come to school to learn. Amen? So you can go out and be a blessing to the world. We come to church to learn so we can go out and be a blessing to the world. We come here to learn about the real Jesus, the real God, so we can go display Him to the world. Amen? Make a display of the love of Christ. So if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, what are you going to say? Antichrist. Not as a bad person. You just don't know Christ. That's not his teachings. You're against his teaching because you're supposed to love your brother. I didn't say you like him. You don't trust in your enemy, but you got to show forth the love of God because God wants that person saved. God has no desire that nobody perish and go to hell, but there is a hell coming. And it's in the center of the earth, but one day it's going to be called the lake of fire. And those that have no desire to know God, they're called the ungodly. That is going to be their place of ever. You want to know torment? That's going to be a place of torment that the worm never dies. Amen. That's the truth. That's in the word. But you know what? I serve a God that lives forever. And in him, I won't even smell the smoke of fire, of hell's fire. It's going to be so far apart. Amen. It might not be a popular message today, but it's a powerful one. God don't want you there. Amen. I used to have nightmares before I come to Christ. I'm talking about graphic ones, bad ones. But you know what? Now, every now and again, the devil will try to throw something in there, fear of something. But you know what? When I lay down, I have peace now. I'm asking the Lord to give me dreams, show me things that I can wake up and pray about. I'm not in fear when I go to sleep. I know one day I'm going to wake up in glory. We'll get into this message, but I think one of the presidents said, who was it? Franklin Roosevelt said, had it right when he said, the only thing we fear, have the fear, is fear itself. Yes. Jesus didn't fear the devil. He told him, it's written. See, God, Jesus knew what was written. Hallelujah. We got to know what's written. So if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. Now, you don't have to call him a liar to his face, but you need to let the truth be known. Preach. That's a good time to preach the gospel, the good news. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can you say you love God who you cannot see? That is not the truth. That's false evidence appearing real. They're afraid of God. They just don't want to admit it. Because everybody's going to stand before God one day. I want to stand for him knowing I have boldness. Lord, I am here finally. I made it. That's what I want to say. Thank you, Jesus. We're here, finally, face to face. Ruthie's working on my painting, drawing me a picture of the face of Jesus, how she sees Jesus. You know what I'm going to do with it? I'm going to put it right beside the picture I'm going to put on the wall that her first games, they had a picture of Ruthie playing in the snow on third base. It was snowing and she was playing softball, and I'm going to put that picture right beside that one. This is Ruthie, and this is the face of Jesus that Ruthie sees. Why? Because she can draw. She might not think she can good, but she's a good, out of the four I've had, she's the best. Draw, the one that can draw. Come to my house on the refrigerator. Don't come today because my wife's not ready for everybody to come. But on the refrigerator, when they were in preschool, they made all these little things they make. You know, Dallas made a little thing out of clay, a little potter, and it was like SpongeBob. Had a big nose. Noses broke off. See? Because, see, that's like Pinocchio. You tell a lie, it's going to break one day. I'm not against Dallas. He just wasn't the artist. He just made a funny nose and it's not there. But Ruthie, hers is nice. Hers look a lot better. That's just the gift that she has. Dallas and Rowan and Kelsey have other gifts that Ruthie does not have. But they all have the gift of good news of Christ. If you have Jesus, you have every good thing. But you need to acknowledge those good things that's in you, that's in Christ Jesus. Acknowledge them, because if not, fear is going to try to say, where is this God you serve? You need to have an answer to that voice. Come here, let me show you. Get the word. You don't have to get the Bible. Just start quoting scriptures that's out of your heart. He was here in 2000. In 1993, when Kelsey was born, he wasn't there in me, but he was there. Because I wasn't serving Christ in 1993, but I knew that was my first baby, and I just knew this is a heavenly gift, because just my emotions, I couldn't handle it. It was a God moment that I finally adhered to that pulling and drawing that this is the love of God. It was shown in the face of my first child. It was just that experience that you have, that's the experience I've had with Christ when my firstborn, Jesus was the firstborn for many brethren, and I experienced that over 22 years ago, and it was an experience that has never changed, and it will always trump anything that's in this world that the world has to offer. Not my God. It won't stand. No idol can stand before God. And I don't care what fear it is. It's got to bow its knee. These idols are deaf and dumb, but there is a God we sung about this morning. That when I call, He hears. He hears our cry. Amen? He hears our cry. Obedience by faith. How do we show forth the love of God? Verse 21, and this commandment we have from Him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. That's how people know, hey, you got to be a Christian, man. That's how I knew that family. They wanted to pray for me. That was the church. That showed me that day, this is who we are. That's what the church is there to do. Hey, I'm not saying all my customers ain't been good to me. They blessed me, tipped me. Shit, I ain't supposed to say tip. They blessed me with water. Waters. But you know what? God is good. That's just one of the, that was 1 John 4. What is fear? This is what God said. It's a tormentor. It torments you. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. You know, my pastor calls me one of his Timothys. Because to Paul, Timothy was a son in the faith. In other words, Paul didn't have physical children, but he had a lot of spiritual children. And Timothy was one that stuck by Paul and believed in his gospel. When people say, I'm not here to be a popular pastor, I'm here to be a powerful messenger for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just a voice, like John. I'm just a voice crying to the world, say yes to Jesus, because he's the answer to fear. And if you say that to fear, you'll have the peace of God ruling in your heart. That's how you're supposed to make any decision we make as Christians, is we're supposed to follow peace. If I don't have peace about it, I ain't doing it. I wish I would have had that years ago when I went fishing. My buddy asked me to go fishing. I didn't have a license to fish, and I was using artificial bait. Guess who showed up? I ain't been fishing in years. Never been out on a boat fishing much. That day I went, what do they call them guys? Game warden. He wasn't playing no games that day. Gave me a ticket. Fishing without a license. Still on my record. Thank God Jesus does not hold my sins in the sea. It's in the sea of forgetfulness. See, man can't do what Jesus can for you. Man can't take away your fear. Only God can. And when he takes away your sin, he says, remember it no more. The only reason you remember it is not God bringing it to you. It's because your conscience, you're not hearing God's voice, and it's your voice you're hearing. And the devil amplifies. He says, yeah, you are that. The devil's not your friend. God is there. The Holy Spirit is there to tell you how good you are and how good God is. The Holy Spirit will not convict you, condemn you. He will convict you of how good and righteous God is in you. That's the God I know and serve. He doesn't beat me up. He loves me. You know, we don't come here and whip you at church. We equip you. We've been called to equip the saints for the working of the work of God. Amen. To do the gospel. So where was I going? 2 Timothy, talking about what God says fear is. And this might be another lesson on this today. All right, look here. Look here. Somebody mark my Bible. When I get done with that, I pull it out. 2 Timothy, verse 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, Paul was sent, an apostle is a sent one, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. So right there, you want to know the will of God? His will for you is that you have grace, mercy, and peace. Because it says from God. That's what God is giving. He's not giving fear. He's giving you the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Grace, mercy, peace. Grace, mercy, peace. You could turn that around. GPM. I don't know if you're a word person. Those are three letters, GMP, grace, mercy, and peace. I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience. Paul killed people. He was killing the church, but now he's got a pure conscience. Why? Because he knows how far his sin has been delivered from the east as from the west in a sea of forgetfulness. I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did as without ceasing, that I remember you in my prayers night and day. Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine, there it is. Anybody like, well, I ain't gonna go there. Genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois Colette. So, Lord, praying for Lois. Blessings to Lois. Just somebody that's passed on into heaven. That was in, and we know Lois had faith. She's experiencing heaven right now. Thank you, Jesus. And your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded, Paul telling Timothy, that this is also in you. Therefore, I remind you, and I'm here to remind you today, church, to stir up the gift of God. It's a gift of God. Grace is a gift. It's nothing you earned. It's what Jesus gave for you. Stir up that gift which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So now we're not supposed to lay hands and pray? No, that's what the Bible says do. Does anybody that not want to come up? Not, you don't have to do that, but am I going to say I'm not supposed to lay hands on people? No, I'm going to do what God says when he says do it. Paul stirred up the gift by the laying on of hands. I don't have to lay hands on to stir up the gift. I'm doing it now by the word of God. Amen. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I'm stirring some faith up this morning. I'm stirring the word up this morning. I like oyster stew, but if you don't stir oyster stew, it will burn and it will not taste good. If you don't stir up the gift of God that's on the inside of you, you're not going to like what the world is going to feed you. You got to stir up the gift of God because it brings life. It brings joy. Stirring up those gifts, it comes to the top. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, meekness. That's what's on the inside of a Christian. But a lot of times it settles down because we let fear. Fear is always pushing. Pressure is always pushing against you. It's always going to be here, but you don't have to let it squeeze you into its mold. No, you come out of that fear. You come out of that bondage. And when you come out, stay out. That's what God did. That was his whole plan for the children of Israel. Come out of Egypt and you stay out. But they let Egypt come back into them out there in the promised land. They said, God, he's brought us out here. No, God brought you out to so you could worship him. We worship God this morning. Don't leave this place. Not worship him. Take him with you as you go to your promised land, as you go home, as you go to work. Don't take fear with you. God's with you. Just let him out. Keep pushing that fear border till we'll keep pushing until it's gone. But guess, the devil left Jesus for another opportune time. I don't care what plague has to leave. There's another one coming. But guess what? Psalms 91 stays. I dwell in a secret place. I don't leave. Christians, we got to dwell there. That's where we abide. That's where we stay. God, you need that book out there, Maria. Abide in the secret place. Dwell there. Camp out there. Stay there. And as you move, the plague moves away from you. No plague shall come near my dwelling. If it comes out against me one way, it's got to flee me seven ways. But you got to know that's in the Word, and you got to let that out. You got to know. If you don't know it, the devil knows you don't know it because you're letting it stay. Would you like to sleep knowing there's a snake in your bed? Would you stay there if you knew there was a snake in your bed? No, you'd get the snake out. The devil is a snake. He's a thief. Keep him out. Keep fear out. Amen? This is our plan of action. This is what Paul was telling Timothy. Stir up the gift of God. Paul knew one day he wasn't going to be there. You got to keep it stirred up, Bob. Keep it stirred up. Stir up others around you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of
fear.
But he has given us a spirit of a power, love, and a sound mind. PLS. Power, love, sound mind. PLS. Against the spirit of fear. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. What is the testimony of Jesus? You need to go back and read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus, anointed by God, went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You got healings in you got healing in your hands. You got healings in your words. See, but fear don't bring, it brings torment. Fear doesn't bring healing. Fear doesn't bring hope. It brings torment. It brings panic. It brings pandemic. But what is our answer to pandemic? Plan of action. No fear. Welcome here. And as more people, the church starts standing up and speaking out, fear will have to leave. If everybody starts turning their lights on, darkness has to leave. Jesus said darkness cannot overcome the light. It will not. It cannot. It's a law. Light was first. Amen. God said light be, and it's been being ever since. Light. God is light. God is love. Love is first. God said, I'll have no other gods before me. God is first, period. You put any God against him, he's going to fall. You put any blade close to him, it won't even get, it'll get burned up. It can't make it. It can't touch. This body's got to be changed. This body that's been corrupted by sin, I don't care if you're Christian, not non-Christian, this body's going to be burned. It's got to be changed. To a Christian, it's going to be changed. God's going to make it new. He's going to give us a glorified body, a body that's never experienced the sin, the curse of the law. It's going to be changed. Amen. That's in the book. That's in the good book too. That's in Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Amen. But you got to be in Christ. It's in him we live and move and have our being. And it's in him we're going to be changed. At the last trump, when it sounds, and it is going to sound, not everybody's going to hear. We're talking about the voice of God and the voice of fear. Are you going to hear? Are you ready? Amen. Are you ready for that trump? Thank you, Jesus. Where'd I get to? I'm in 2 Timothy. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, and it's all in Christ Jesus. Therefore, don't be ashamed of this testimony of our Lord, nor of his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Paul, the sufferings he's talking about is all the persecutions he had to endure to preach that gospel. Who has this testimony has saved us and called us with a holy calling, according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. God knew we was going to be in this time before this time was even started. And he said, I'm there with you in this time. Amen. And this time it shall pass. But what about the next time? See, I'm prepping us for the next time. We're through this. We're going to speak against this. It's going to leave. It's got to flee. Fear has to leave. I done forgot. Corona has to leave. I just put a message on the door. I done forgot the name. Why? Because God says it has to bow its knees to the name of Jesus. No fear. Welcome here. In this church, in this place, in this community, we're talking about Concord, North Carolina, the world. Amen. Jesus came for the world. Peace is for the world. Fear is not for this world. No place. Amen. Are y'all ready to? We're part of this army. And we're marching forward. When we march out of these doors, you got the armor of God on. You're learning about what's under it right now. The love of God that's in us, in Christ Jesus. Nobody can take Christ from you. Nobody can strip you of that word that's on the inside of you. You can determine, if you shut your mouth, you can let fear oppress you and dominate you. But once you get born again, you are sealed in your spirit, and no God holds your spirit. Jesus said nobody can pluck you out of his hand. So why should you fear? If God has you in his hand, but what you have to fear is fear itself. And God has given us the antidote, his word. That's the sword that we'll get into eventually on the armor of God. Is the sword of God is the word of God. But it's got to come out of your mouth. Amen. I believed in my heart, Romans 10:9-10, that Jesus is the Son of God and that he took my sin. I believed with my heart and I confessed Jesus with people I started meeting. That shows that I have believed. I went from understanding to hearing the gospel to now I believed and I got born again. I got sealed by the Holy Ghost. But my belief, I didn't go to a pastor. I went to God at home on my couch and professed Jesus as my Lord, asked him to be my Lord, and he said yes. He said yes over 2,000 years ago on the cross. He didn't have to make that decision again. He settled it. It's finished. The gospel's finished. The good news is over. Jesus gave us good news. We don't have to start good news again. It's already there. We just have to know, read it, and declare it. Amen. Good news. Jesus is alive. Resurrection Sunday is just right around the corner. I love and I'm preparing for Reed's Sunrise Sunday morning breakfast here. Amen. I didn't hear Reed say amen. Oh, mercy. Reed, are you going to be here Sunday? Are you on vacation? Because if not, I'll cook. Somebody got to have to cook. I'm going to have to volunteer some cooks. But we love getting up real early Sunday morning and coming to the cross out here at the parking lot and just taking that time to know that Jesus rose from the dead on that third day. And we get up early in the morning because he was in hell for 3 days and 3 nights in the center of this earth. And he never forgot about us. He had joy in his spirit, and he knew one day he would come out of that grave. And when he come out of the grave, everybody that puts faith in Christ Jesus, you came out of the grave. That was a grave of bondage. That was a grave of fear. But no longer, because Jesus has set us free. Amen. That's resurrection morning. I'm having a little bit of it. I'm tasting a little bit of it now. Amen. That's good news. Jesus is alive is good news. That's good news. Praise the Lord. Therefore, don't be ashamed of this gospel, because this was verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. He was the lamb that became the sacrifice. Verse 10, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death. He has abolished every plague. He has abolished it. And brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Salvation, break it down. Deliverance from fear, evil, sickness, disease, poverty, calamity, you name it. This evil, Jesus has delivered us from it. Through his work on the cross. Through his atoning blood. Not your blood, his blood was shed. And today, this morning, we're not going to do the live. We will be doing communion service and just sealing it by that promise that the Lord says, as often as you do, folks, you can do it as often as you need. It don't have to be grape juice. It don't have to be a cracker. It could be a piece of bread and water. I don't care. It's just what you set it apart to say, hey, I'm remembering Jesus. This is the only thing I have to remember you by today, Lord, is water and bread. And he says, me, remember me is what it's all based on. The work of Calvary, that he became the Passover lamb. He became that Passover lamb. He took care of death for me. Death had to pass over. The plague has to pass over. Because Jesus, the hope of glory, is on the inside of us. Death has to pass over. But you have to declare it. You have to stay in Christ. Stay in the houses. That's what was told to the Israelites. Stay in the house. If Christ is in you, you in the house. And your house is a mobile house. Amen. It's a mobile house. It has feet. Everywhere you go, God goes. That means the light. In the Old Testament, when God moved, when the fire of God moved, the people moved. You have the fire of God on the inside of you. It's called the Holy Ghost. He's in you. He's going to never leave you nor forsake you. But you can grieve him. He won't leave you, but you can. How do you grieve the Holy Ghost? When boldness, when there's a time to stand, you sit. And you don't let that boldness, let your faith arise. Stir up the gift that's on the inside of you and speak it out. Say, I got paper towels. I got water. I got steaks. Come over here. Love your neighbor. Be a blessing. Show the love of Christ. That's what defeats fear. That's what defeats plague, is when we stay in unity, stay in strength, stay in hope, stay in faith. We live. The just shall live by faith. Amen. So be loyal to your faith. Hold fast. 13, the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, Paul is telling Timothy. And that's what I'm telling you today. Hold fast to the sound teaching you've had in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing, say good thing. That good thing which committed to you, keep by the Holy Ghost who dwells in us. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from Paul's teaching. Among whom, or he lists some names here, the Lord grant mercy. Paul didn't say, well, they don't believe my teaching. He didn't cuss them. He blessed them. He said, the Lord, give them mercy. Give them grace that they would hear. The Lord grant mercy to those household, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Fear, you are not welcome here. More than that, fear is under the curse of the law. This is in your, going back to our handout, our plan of action. If you've been living with fear or multiple fears, this is your time. Say, this is my time. To make a great change and overcome fear. How do you overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. That's how you overcome any fear. Amen? Fear of death. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? That's part of the message behind the word of the Lord Kenneth Copeland has for 2020, which is a year of new visions, manifested power, and great change. That's still a word that's going to come to pass. But guess what? It can come to you or it can pass you. I'm talking about the good word of the Lord. Because you have to receive the promise of God into your house. And when you receive it into your heart and put it out of your mouth, then whatever's coming against you will pass. See, it's God, faith is voice activated. It's voice activated. I think I've used Cecil and Cindy for example. When they got married, they each said, I do. When the preacher said, do you take this wife? If Cecil had not said, I do, Cindy would have knocked him out. That's she knew everything she did to prepare for this. It was voice activated. I do. And he's been saying, I do ever since. It's called honey-do list. Honey, I do this. I'm still working on my list. I need some help. Evan, can you help me out? My list just keeps getting bigger. Oh, Lord, where was we at? Fear. That was a word of the Lord from Kenneth Copeland against fear. You have to receive that word from the prophet, and then you have to speak it and declare it. We've already been delivered from fear. So whenever you feel afraid, afraid to fly, afraid to swim, afraid to drive. Guys, when we get out of this, are we still going to be afraid to come together? Are we still going to be afraid now to go to the restaurant? You got to say, no, I'm ready to go now. I mean, we went to Chili's, and that's the first time we did the curbside, and they had it ready to go. I was like, but I sure do miss going in and sitting down and seeing people and having another bowl of chips. You get refills when you're inside. When you leave, hey, I like the refills. So that's a good time to start speaking against all this stuff. There's people that's not working out there. There's the people that usually do my refills. They're not working, but they will be. Because, see, we're going to pray and we're going to speak blessings. Speak against this fear. Fear of not having a job. Fear of not having enough. That's lack. That's fear. That's the devil. And it's evil. And it never was God's plan or purpose for mankind on this earth. He said, be blessed. Be fruitful. Multiply. No fear. When the devil came in and robbed and stole from Adam and Eve, that's when fear came into the earth. Fear. Adam and Eve were afraid. They hid from God. But we're not afraid of God. We're not afraid of the devil. Now, I'm afraid of God if I don't do his word because I know he's got something good for me. I fear God because he is God and God alone. And when he says something, he don't just say it just to say it. He means what he says because he wants to keep you blessed and he wants to keep you alive because he knows there's an enemy out there. Death, sickness, disease, corona, whatever name you want on it, that's death. It's not from God. It's from the devil. And Jesus destroyed all his works by his word. You shall be justified. And by his word, you shall be condemned. I'm justified. We're justified in Christ. Justified, never sinned. Because Christ made me righteous. He made me holy. He made me who I am. He made me fearless. Now, do I say I don't have little episodes? Yeah, there's time, there are episodes of fear, but that's when the Word of God, that's what the Holy Ghost is for, to help you, to grab hold with you and say, no, let him rise up and let him come out. So on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came out. He was around them when Jesus was there, but he went in them and then he came out because they said, these men are drunk. Peter said, let me tell you something. I've been drunk before, but I ain't drunk today. I'm drunk in the Holy Ghost. This is what Joel prophesied. See, Peter had been reading the Word. Now the Word was reading him and it came out of his lips and everybody down there, 3,000 people said, what do we do? You want to know what to do when fear comes? Get into the Holy Word. Get into the Bible. Let the Bible come out of you. And then the people said, what do we do? Peter said, repent. Change your way of thinking. Listen to what I've said and act on it. And 3,000 people gave their life to Christ. Amen? Just like that. Because the Holy Ghost made the difference. Christ in you made the difference. There was no fear. Peter let faith out. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. So if all these fears hit you, fear to drive, Remember that Jesus bore that fear for you the same day He took your sin. He took it. He bore it. So cast it to Him. And don't you take it back. Cast your cares upon Me, your anxious fears. Cast them to Jesus, and He took it. And when you throw it to Him, don't take it back. Now get on, He says. Now go. Tell about the good things God has done for you. That'll drive fear out right there, because the devil wants that praise, and God's getting it, and he don't like it, and he'll leave. Tell people about good things God's done for you, Jack. Tell people about good things God's doing for you. Drive out the fear. So it's time for the church. It's time for the Christians. Don't walk in fear. Don't be scared. But put these seven in that. We ain't even touched one yet. But there's seven on here. And if anybody's watching by Facebook Live and you'd like to have a copy of this, make a little comment, because we're not moderating this yet, but we probably will in the future. Make me a note and I'll send you a copy of this. Give me your email address and I'll email it to you, because as a church, this is what I want us taking home and studying this and speaking this out and getting this on the inside of you. And if it's there, stirring up. Because I believe there's a lot of word. I know there's word on the inside of you. And we need to keep it stirred up at this time, Brenda. Stir it up. And I've got your key. Don't let me forget. It's in my wife's car. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So it's time to put these seven in practice to overcome fear for great change and move into the greatest peace, joy, and victory that we have ever known. Moving on. Moving on into that victory that we have never known. We've known it in Christ Jesus. I'm talking about when tribulation and trial comes, it's time for the victory. The victory chant. Remember the old victory chant we sing? Whew, talking about Jesus. He's coming. So, where am I at here? 11:35. I want to make one point. You guys got to take this home and read the rest of this, but we might talk about it next week too. Number one, how do you defeat fear? One thing you got to know that I didn't mention, Hebrews 11:6, the opposite of faith, which we cannot please God. Fear is the opposite of faith. And the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It didn't say God, it's impossible for God not to love you. He loves you regardless of what state you're in. State of fear, state of North Carolina, Louisiana, Mississippi, it don't matter. He loves you no matter what state you're in, but He's not pleased when you get in fear, because He didn't design you that way. He didn't make you that way. The potter, He is the creator, and He made the pottery the way He made it. So I'm the clay. I'm the one He made. And I'm not subject to say, God, I don't like the way You make me. No, I just need to say, God, You made me this way. Now help me understand how You've made me. He made me. He put inside me His breath. He breathed into me the breath of life. So when death comes against me, I don't like it. I don't like this feeling that I'm feeling around the world, around my neighborhood, around houses. I don't like fear. It's not a part of God. And neither should you. And you're not to like evil. We should never be okay with anything that's stealing, killing, or destroying. We're supposed to be angry at it. And how do we sin not? We don't cuss our brother. We pray for our brother. It's the devil working behind. It's the spirit behind that person that they don't know. That's what we get angry at. We're angry at that spirit of fear and evil and death. It's bringing destruction. And how do we do that? We love that person with our words, with our character. Amen. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. So, number one, in our plan of action against fear, watch what you're watching. Turn it off if you have to. Because Franklin Roosevelt had it right when he said, the only thing we fear is fear itself. Fear doesn't prevent bad things from happening. It is often the cause. Fear doesn't prevent anything from happening. It's usually the root cause of why it's happening. Whether you know it or not, images stay with you. Turn off the television, unless it's giving you a good vision, because it's telling you a vision. And there's a lot of news that's telling you how bad it is, but they're not telling you how good God is, because that don't sell. That don't make money, except in the house of God. And then what does the money for? Keep lights on, air conditioning. But the main purpose is it preaches good news and it gets people into the kingdom. But news don't do that. There's some good news being, I'm not against news, I'm against bad news. If you're going to tell somebody about fear, you need to tell them about, okay, how do I get out of it? You stay in faith. So that's good news. And that's what we'll tell you. We'll tell you the antidote to the problem. We just won't give you the problem. There's already been a vaccine. It's in Christ Jesus. It's in the blood of Jesus. You don't have to wait for it. It's there. Amen. That's good news. It's there. So whether you know or not, images stay with you. Your brain is like a movie screen. If I could look into your brains, if I could look into your brains, you better thank God I'm not the Holy Ghost. But God, but He still loves you. Don't get condemned. He's not there to condemn you. You can grieve Him by what you're watching. He's not going to watch it with you. He's not going to agree with you if it's bad, right? But He's going to wait. He's going to give him, when an opportunity comes, He's going to say, now you need to be watching this. Whatever's just, whatever's pure, what is holy, keep your eyes on these things. Think upon these things. That's what the Word says. And if you think upon them, you'll become them. They'll become you. Peace, joy, love. Yes. So your brain's like a movie screen. The devil can and he will use that vision against you. Where there is division. See, the church, we're supposed to be in unity, not divided. A church divided can't stand. We got to be in unity, in the Spirit. A peace, not fear. If we get in fear, then the body, we're in division. And that means we're being conquered. Watch what you're watching. Your mind should not be feeding on fear, horror, movies, murder mysteries, negative news, or anything else that is rooted in fear. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just showing you, I'm telling you what God says in His Word. Amen. I got to give you His prescription today. So Facebookers, we appreciate you watching us. And if you need anything, any prayer requests, make that known, because we're going to go into our communion service. And thank you for watching. And at this time, we just want to put aside anything that's trying to keep you from the love of God. Anything that you've heard, the cares of this world, that try to come in and try to snatch the Word of God out of your life. And that's what the devil does. The Bible says he comes, he's a thief. And he comes when the Word is sowed. And we've sowed the Word today. I'm sweating this morning. Man, I usually don't sweat up here. I think I didn't turn the thermostat down. Y'all cold or y'all comfortable? I'm sweating. So anyway, that's good. That's good. I heard about those preachers. They used to sweat. They said they'd fill up their shoes. They'd get up, walk on the pews. I ain't going that far. I ain't balanced like I used to be. I've got a little scale that's tipping me over here. But we're going to remember the Lord in the communion, in these elements. And know when you leave here, guys, you have hope on the inside of you. You have a message. God gave you, He stirred up the gifts on the inside of you today. Take this packet, take this plan of action home and speak it, declare it, read it, let it get it in you. Hey, we're coming to a place, there'll be one time they'll want to take your Bibles. They're going to want to take this, take that. They're going to try to, I'm just saying, this is the times we're coming into. Jesus said, times are going to get dark. They're going to get bad. They're going to call good evil and evil good. I don't know. I don't know the times or the seasons. I know when Jesus is coming back, but I do know He said, when you can look out there and you see the clouds, it's going to rain. I'm looking out here and seeing thing going on. Jesus is coming soon. And He said, all these things are going to start hitting the earth, but He's going to take us out of here. There's a rapture. There's a snatching away that's going to happen to the body of Christ, the body of Christ, not the body of the world, because not everybody's serving God. And He's going to take us out of this before great tribulation hits this earth. Because think about this. See, so you wouldn't leave Cindy to in a bad situation. You're her husband, right? Well, we're the bride of Christ. You think God's going to leave us in a world that's people killing one another for craziness? There's a time He's going to get us out of here, and the world's going to, you think they're in fear now? When we get out, when the church leaves and there's nobody bringing hope, bringing calm to the storm, and we're removed, there's going to be great tribulation upon this earth that man has never seen. They're going to be wanting to say, let the rocks fall on us. It's going to be so bad. But see, I'm not saying that to get you in fear. I'm saying that to let you know God is for us. And that's what's going to happen. And if this is just an inkling of what's going to happen, how much more we need to be prepared. You know, if you need to take communion every day, however the Lord leads you, but communion is just keeping Him in remembrance. You don't have to have the juice or the wafer. Just remember Him. Remember the Lord your God. He tells us that all throughout the Scriptures. When you come to your man, you got your car, you got your house, things are doing good. Remember the Lord your God, because the devil's going to try to come and take it from you. He's going to try to come. He's a thief. And until Jesus, until He's totally destroyed and threw into the lake of fire, He's going to be about His business, the devil. But God is about His business, blessing His people. As we take communion, there's a cup of blessing on this There's a blessing on it. So just make sure your heart's right. In other words, make sure you have that covenant with Jesus. You're born again. Lord, I serve you. I said last Sunday, I said, make sure, just sell out to Jesus. Just put your white flag up. There was a time in my life, I didn't know if I was saved or not. The only way I found out is I started seeking God. And he says, when you seek me, you'll find me. And I found him. And I said, oh yeah, I've been lost. I need help. And I totally surrendered. And I found out that he was my Lord and Savior. A lot of people are using him as their Savior, but they're not letting him be Lord of their life. Totally sold out. That's what he wants. That's how he's able to keep us from all this evil. It's when we're totally sold out. If you haven't done that, make that commitment to him. You don't have to. We're not looking for attendance. He's not looking for your church attendance, for your things you've done for him. He just wants you. He just wants you. And when we take this communion together, we're standing against this fear. We're standing against the devil. See, Judas had to leave. Why? Because he sold Jesus out. He betrayed Jesus. He didn't love him. He had a false pretense that I love you, Lord. And he was over the money. And Jesus knew that was his weakness. That's why he put him in that position. That's why he called him. He knew he had a weakness, but the Word of God can't overcome any weakness. But Judas decided, no, I love the money. And it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And the devil had a hold on Judas, and it cost him his life. He went and committed suicide. He couldn't live with the fact that he sold out Jesus, and he thought Jesus was going to rebel and be the king. See, the devil gives you falseness, and you can't follow his voice. It'll drive you to depression, to suicide. We got kids. We got a whole nation that needs to know Jesus and needs to know to be able to partake of this communion cup, the power that's in it. And we need it as a church body through this time. So I want you to know, when you partake this morning, God is fighting your battles. He's fighting your battles. He's got a place for you. He's got grace for you. He's got space for you. Whatever you need. And then after the communion service, if there's personal prayer that you need me to pray, I ain't afraid to lay hands on you. You know me, I'm your pastor. But if there's personal prayer after the communion, come up here and let me pray with you. That's up to you.